nirrakomandakom għal kreativi tabla konfini li huwa program fuq Campus FM organizzat mid-Dipartiment tal-Istorja tal-Arti fl-Università ta' Malta. Dan il-program ħaj jiddiskuti arti, riċerka fil-Dipartiment, kif ukoll avvenimenti kulturali li se jseħħu fix-xhur li ġejjin.
I will start with that ML would
understand. Can I start?
Oh yes, of course. Start.
Dear audience, I'm starting.
I'm waiting.
No, I was always thinking of having some situation like this when I can talk to someone like in Beckett's...
Yeah. Oh, that's a good beginning.
Yeah, really. In Beckett's novel. And can we try to do it? So we are talking and we are waiting for Godot.
What we can.
What we can.
Can we?
Can we?
But you are repeating.
But they were repeating.
I'm already in Beckett.
But they were repeating. In their dialogues.
Yes, also, yeah. But you repeat it twice.
Well, it's not written that it's forbidden.
Beckett did forbid, yeah. Did you read Beckett's two really thick volumes of his dogmatic dictatorial stage direction?
No.
On Waiting for Godot?
No.
Even the commas and full stops, he gave seconds.
Uh-huh.
He was really dictatorial in his Waiting for Godot, and I assume, I'm not sure, even in his others.
Wow, that's a perfect subject.
It's true.
No, really. When something is so original and determinated, it's a big challenge for everybody.
For him, it was like an orchestral score, really,
mm-hmm.
I think. I had problems with Beckett, big problems, but once I was asked by a Roman small theater to direct Waiting for Godot. I think I told you this story.
No.
No?
No.
And I read Godot for a million times.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't.
Mm.
And I tried my best to see various productions which left me absolutely bored.
Mm.
I just couldn't understand what this masterpiece is all about. And then I decided, as I usually do when I meet problems, to translate it in Maltese, not for translation's purposes, for me to study.
Mm.
I translated it. Again, I didn't feel absolutely any key. To my shame, I'm saying all this. But then I decided to read the Maltese version to my son,
mm-hmm.
Ilya, who was about 7 or 8 years old.
Oh.
And he started to laugh. Every sentence, he was laughing. And it was he who saved me, really. Because then I said, if my 7 or something like that, he was really happily laughing. So I said, I've got something wrong with my own brain cells. I've got to... reshuffled them. I started to study Beckett.
And then you came to those two volumes. Well, I believe that my modest opinion is the key word is waiting, because what he was trying to do is to describe time and what stupid things come on mind during the time. I think waiting is the key word.
I'm not sure. Maybe, yes. I mean...
If you manage to... But that's the most difficult thing to do, to describe time. How are you going to put on a scene time?
Yeah, without undermining what you're saying. I do, probably you are completely right. And I think it's one of the aspects, one of the most dominant aspects. But I think from a theatrical point of view, it's not important. And what made me conclude this way was another lucky point. About 5 or 6 years ago, I was in London, and I was waiting for Godot by the most brilliant London cast ever. the 4 stars, really.
Mm.
And it was a tremendous success. Not from the audience point of view, I'm saying just, but even for me. It was the first time and the last time I saw what Beckett
So
was.
What did they do?
Wait.
Uh-huh.
But they were
so I'm right.
Yeah, but what they were waiting for, they did it phenomenally. Just phenomenal. And I decided that, I have to continue studying Beckett. Yeah.
Well, I love it. Like that novel, as I mentioned, it's a waiting of sarcasm, you know, and sarcasm, which is, and stupidity, which fulfills the time. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not sure, because I'm in love with Beckett. So about sarcasm, maybe you're right. In fact, I was very, very much surprised when I read that Beckett wanted Keaton, the comic, to play in his drama. It's a beautiful link. Anyway, yes, you're right. But it's about nothing, really.
Exactly. That was my idea. Let's talk about nothing. I mean, if we are trying to talk about nothing, how is it going to be? We have to talk about something. But if it's going to be nothing, how will you describe nothing? Well, you are not describing. Okay, I have to clear some things. Dr. Shkembri Bonacci is giving me signs.
Exactly.
Zipped and mouth.
That's it. So, with such an introduction to this program, I think it's really good that you provoked Beckett into this discussion, because within this discussion we have the antipode of Beckett, in the sense we've got a very structured APS in Vienna Biennale going on in November with 25-30 artists from the international arena participating. We've got the Valletta 18th and the Stretta concept on, and of course the usual but very dominant history of art department activities. So to put Beckett into this, three sort of non, I wouldn't say nothing here, or maybe yes, we could define. It is.
Now we are not talking about Beckett.
No, Beckett interests me a lot, as you know. So, what would be your projects for Strada Stretta concept, your own personal ones?
Well, my own, only where I'm involved, and
yes,
they are not going to be. I'll always be involved with the other artists.
Yeah, but remind us.
So, on the 20th May, something which is not completely, I'm not in it, but I'm helping with the organization, and I'll be there, so...
Which event?
I'll
can you
involved.
Remind?
It's Sandro Jazz session.
What is the event about? What is Sandro going to do? With whom is he going to
Well, since Jazz Festival is going to mm-hmm. come very soon, he's going to present it a bit modestly, a short version of his Jazz Festival.
So it's like a... Anteprima for
Anteprima,
the, as
yes,
we did
yes.
last year.
Exactly,
yeah?
Exactly.
But is there any novel component? When is Mariana arriving?
Yes, that's true. To be honest with you, I'm not quite sure about their content. Mm. I'm not sure what
no,
will
not the
they
who is
do.
Mariana?
Well, I will mention her in other contexts. The other concert, which is going to be on the 21st of May, which is one day after this mm-hmm. mentioned one. There are going to be three performers, uh-huh. Mariana, soprano from Ukraine, uh-huh. Inga, violinist from Lithuania, and myself from Serbia, I'm playing piano.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be very, very interesting, because our repertoire is wide, from mm-hmm. Vivaldi and Paisiello to Edith Piaf.
That's great.
And yes, and it's very unordinary.
When is Sandro going to challenge Mariana? When is jazz going to challenge opera?
That's going to be on 24th of November. Uh-huh. And it's Opera Turandot.
Oh, no. When is Sandro going to challenge opera in June or May with Mariana?
Oh, that's why I said I'm not sure about
the
their content. It's going to be 20
yeah,
May.
I'm not mm-hmm. talking about content.
Yes, I said it. It's 20th May.
Ah, exactly.
Sandro plus other jazz musicians plus Mariana.
Do you remember who the jazz musicians are with Sandro? Oliver?
Oliver is a bass, double bass player, mm. and drum.
The Serb. Stepko.
Stepko Guč.
Yes, of course. I'm trying to provoke you.
Because I am not sure that he confirmed.
Of course he did.
I did it.
Of course he did.
Well, my last update was he might have.
No, confirmed, of course. Now, what about the Carmen Bis? When is this going to happen?
This is going to happen on the World Days of Classical Music, which is 21st of June.
Mm-hmm. It's part of what the French call
Fête de la Musique.
Fête de la Musique. But we're doing it differently. We did it already last year, if you remember.
Yes,
and we had
this
Strada Stretta, whole Strada Stretta. Now we're doing it with just Carmen, which is going to be a very, very bizarre, strange Carmen, because it's called Carmen Blavucci, which means voiceless Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's leave it up to the audience to be a bit slightly surprised. Let's not go into detail. About Imdina Biennale, the Imdina Biennale APS Biennale, what's your position here?
Well, first of all,
besides being the main critique of the Imdina Biennale.
But isn't it so beautiful position?
Oh, yes.
I don't want to give it...
very comfortable.
Well, in a way. So, I feel very sorry that I don't have time machine,
mm-hmm.
because if I have it, I would travel to your last Imdina,
mm-hmm.
and I would perform many concerts, I think.
But this time we're trying, it's important for listeners to know, we are excluding all kind of performances.
Yes, I know.
Except those, of course, which are directly linked with the visuality.
Yes,
it's important.
Yes.
The theme is the Mediterranean as a sea of conflicting spiritualities, and we're going to have two anteprimas, right? We've got the Gallia exhibition coming in, and then it's your challenging paintings with your musical counterpoint, let's call it.
Yes,
it's maybe not a counterpoint, maybe yes.
Yes, well, to say something more about this Mdina, I had to mention a few things which intrigued me in your last Mdina. So, although I was not there physically, I did read all the newspaper articles and all videos about it. So, I was very much interested in knowing what are you going to do next, because last subject was amazing. It was art and spirituality. And I was very much interested how you are going to develop it, because after art and spirituality, there is nothing after.
Oh, that's very true.
Well, but you did find way and mean how to, ways and means how to develop it.
So I hope so.
I think this goes even deeper, because conflict and roots of art has same, I think, same source.
That's true, because as I keep saying quite often, I like to retain the link of spirituality between our editions and previous editions. That's first of all. Secondly,
so line is there.
There must be. Then secondly, I'm a bit dialectical. I'd like to negate what I did yesterday. So the first edition, my first edition, that is, was a complicated structure, as you might have read.
Yes, I read.
We had 129 artists, participants, we had music, we had visuality, we had interactions, we had academia, we had theater, we had performances, we had multi-culture, multi-ethnic participation, we had Islamic art, we had Buddhist art, we had, let's call it atheist art in a certain sense, agnostic. And everybody was trying to cooperate in trying to find ways and means of how to discuss what spirituality is. Mm. For this edition, I negated everything. I am trying to negate everything except that dominant line. So, it's not going to be 129 participants, but just 25-30, not more. We're going to utilize only the museum, Cathedral Museum space only, and we have to challenge our works with the permanent exhibition. Nothing's going to be touched. It's the artist, the participant, who has to tackle what he's going to do within that very same space. And even the title, it's not negating, it's challenging the previous title. Whereas the first edition was, as you said, art and spirituality, so the art had all the freedom to tackle what is spirituality. Now the second stage is negating and giving doubt. Is there spirituality in all these conflicts? That's why it's called conflicting spiritualities. So it's dialectic. Now let's see how artists would react to such a theme.
So hearing all this, I would, well, you know my sense of humor, so you'll forgive me for this. Hearing all this, I would like to make a short clip of your last Mdina Biennale, and then to make short clip of this year, and then send it to space, you know. So the aliens are going to be completely confused. They will think, what's this, you know? All of a sudden, the artists are trying to show something and then to negate it, then to go deeper, then to annihilate it.
Yes, I have to apologize with our listeners that ML without aliens is not possible. So she always introduces the aliens in everything. So that's,
but the most beautiful things were sent to space.
Oh, let's not enter this particular subject, because I find it a bit. Anyway, the third element.
In the beginning we said we are going to talk about nothing, so this fits.
Okay. The third path is the department. Here we have conferences and academia, which I hope will not be invaded by aliens. And our next conference is Cubism and how Cubism relates to the Malta and Mediterranean situation and scene. This forms part of our annual academic conferences, where we try to juxtapose Maltese artists and foreign artists, especially when we had Rodin, Josef Calleja, we had Fontana and Gabriel Caruana. Now we're going to tackle Maltese cubists, not just with Picasso and Braque, but also with the third, fourth, fifth wave of Cubism and how this affected the whole Malta scene. And if, let's say, Preca's Cubism or Portelli's Cubism had anything to offer against this internationalization of a style. I mean, so with these three parts, I mean, it's quite fascinating to see how the Mdina Biennale EPS and the Sodastretta concept Valletta 18, together with the History of Art Department, we're trying to create a micro cobweb here of bridging of different activities. Each path has a dominant line which is different from the others, but we have to create bridges from the so the Stretta concept onto the Medina Biennale, onto the department, and it creates quite a fascinating development of thought, of free thinking, really. So Emel, let's speak about now your particular talent. I'm not joking. Your excellent particular talent and your activities in the arts. And even if you can tell us something about your previous and present history, coming from Serbia to Malta, entering the Malta scene, coming from conservatoire and foreign school of music. What are you doing here from a general point of view?
What am I doing here? It's quite often I ask it to myself. Mm-hmm. It's a good question. I'm not sure if I can provide a valid answer. I'm looking for concepts and places and meanings where I can express myself, I suppose.
But can you find a link between Belgrade or any point in your country where you find this bridging or possibility of bridging or the non-possibility of bridging your previous experience onto the Malta scene?
Well, obviously, now I am what my previous experiences are. So, exactly that is what brought me here on Malta, in a sense of looking for and searching for other culture and other artists and other spaces which can provide me some kind of inspiration. So, if we are talking about art, you can link every two spots on the world. I think that's for an artist, it's...
Yeah. But why Malta?
Well, the answer is a bit less artistic. I had to come to live by the sea. And then, since my English was horrible, but at least I knew some words of English, I have chosen Malta because it's English-speaking area.
And that's a good point. And what about your artistic
That's why I said
side?
It's not so artistic.
No. It is also artistic. You need language. What about your artistic side? You're a musician, you're a pianist.
At least I'm trying to be.
Yes, but what would be your particular sphere that you excel in, even philosophically, for example? Musically speaking, of course.
Well, all history
I'm trying to create an argument about yourself, really.
And I think I'm refusing it, because I'm not good in speaking about myself.
Yeah, but we have to know you.
So, as you said, I'm coming from Belgrade. There I graduated on Belgrade University. Mm-hmm. I graduated piano. Uh-huh. And since then, I'm very active in music. I did not.
Is there any particular period in which you are more interested than another?
Yes, there are. First of all, it's Baroque. So it's beginning of music, and then there's a 20th century with Bartok, with Ligeti, with Messiaen. Since I'm coming from that kind of space, I'm talking about Balkan, where we talked about it, about the conflict before, where conflict is everyday's matter, I find that music from there, that it's reflecting completely the way how we, unfortunately, were living and still do live. So I find that I understand it maybe in a better way.
Through music.
Through music, yes. I find one, let's say, American citizen pianist, I find him when he's playing music which is from my place where I came from, I find it a bit weird. Uh-huh. I find all our pianists from that area, when we are playing something which is from there, I find it completely different. So if we are talking about something which is so specific, I have to mention composers which are from there.
For example?
It's Serbian composer, very, very amazing one, Vasilij Mokranjac, Marko Tajčević, and then, of course, Bela Bartok.
You said many things at the same time that created loads of questions, but let's go back slightly to the Baroque issue, because I entered Baroque also visually. Of course, forming part of the history of art department, Baroque is quite substantial. But in one of my essays, dealing with Baroque and modern Baroque, I found a certain parallel between modern art, not all, of course, and Baroque. Do you find it in music also?
Oh, yes, of course.
So it's not a question of a chronological narrowness?
It's a question of philosophy, because all the philosophy structure is the same. Mm-hmm. Language is a different...
That would help me a lot, if you can give us a more relatively speaking, detailed answer. What parallelism in music do you find between Baroque music and modern contemporary? If there are parallels,
of course.
I found in the visual arts.
Well, both are based on mathematical progression.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to add that it's not just Baroque and modern time, which includes...
Of course.
It's also, you can find it with Romanticism, but it's not predominant in Romanticism or in Impressionism, or in pagan Impressionism and Expressionism. So the biggest link between Baroque and contemporary art is structure.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are talking about structure, we are talking about how the sentence is built up and how you can translate into numbers. It's very easily.
So you find these being quite...
Yes.
Can you give us, at least for the listeners to understand a bit more, an example of a composer coming from the Baroque, I mean, chronologically speaking, and a modern composer who, according to you, would be parallel, if not...
There are many, many, many
give
examples.
Example.
I'll give you one, my favorite.
Yeah.
So George Ligeti did write Musica Ricercata, as you know, it means searching for music.
Yeah, and researching music, really, I think.
So he was searching for music through 11 pieces, and 11th one is homage to Girolamo Frescobaldi, and he did take form of fugue. So the language, the theme of fugue is extremely 20th century. It includes all 12 scale notes, but the structure, the architecture of that fugue is absolutely Baroque.
Ah, that's fascinating.
It is fascinating because I believe my modest opinion is that that's the only way how you can keep art being art, not being trash art. Because you have to have some kind of roots.
You touched some another thing, I'm sorry to butt in, when you said trash. In my essay, besides these parallelisms between Baroque and modernity, I also dealt with, for the time being I'm going to call it pseudo-Baroque. I didn't use this term in my essay, but for this radio discussion I'm using it, right? In the sense that you can have somebody in contemporary times that would apply the same, not parallelisms now, the same, let's say, approach, the same, paradoxically enough, worldview of the Baroque, and he transposes it completely, unblocked, as some kind of cut and paste, onto 2017, which I analyzed this sort of pseudo-Baroque in my essay, and tried to find out if this sort of definition can apply. Is there any particular parallels in music also? Can one write today exactly as Bach did?
Well,
what would happen?
Poser? First of all, it would be clear fake. That's my first impression. If someone wanted to imitate it now.
Exactly, that's what. But in architecture, we do have loads of 2017 Baroque. That's my question.
But
we are creating.
With music, it's not that I'm praising music, but
it's... That's the question. Yeah.
I think it's impossible. If someone would really like to write like a Bach, you will have all technicalities, you will have all the pieces from, for example, from fugue, all the parts which forms fugue, but you will miss spirituality, which
that's why I called it, for this discussion, pseudo. Exactly. Because...
But,
the philosophy you cannot inherit.
Exactly.
That's why in my essay I did not use the word pseudo, because in the art word pseudo means something else. I'm using it just for us to discuss. But can it be done?
Technically speaking, but no one will want to play it.
Exactly. Why? That's a good answer. Why?
Well, maybe because we are accustomed to such divine music as Bach did it, or and Handel and other Baroque grandmasters. But I would like to say something about it. Why did I mention trash art? Because I believe that all modern art should be relied on something which was in the past. Because you cannot
That's different.
You cannot make art just like
that
without knowing what was happening.
No, that's a different situation.
So, keeping, for example, keeping a form of fugue and writing your statement, like, for example, Arvo Pärt did with
and
the
Schnittke.
And
Schnittke, yes. Of course, yeah.
Then it's something
always
else.
Different,
then you are keeping roots and creating something which
is authentic.
No, I have no
problems with this. What I have a problem with is, not problem, an exciting one is, for in the arts, again, in the visual arts, what happens is, for example, in last years of the 20th century, beginning 21st, you had this pasting of different forms coming from different periods, which in a nutshell is called postmodernism.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have this very strange, weird architecture being copied exactly from behind, put everything together, which of course is sort of trash, but this is different from just copying what was happening before.
But what we are talking about are the principles, and every time at the end it's about artist's aura, you know. If you have artists who can do it in authentic way, then...
No, because if it's an authentic way, if I understood correctly, there's no problem at all. You have Schnittke, as you said, and even Stravinsky, by the way, etc. I find no problems there. What I'm saying is then you have different forms. For example, in Malta, the Carmeno Church in Valletta, that's Baroque. Technically, it's Baroque. If you take Shaukia Church in Gozo, that's Baroque, living Baroque. And I cannot consider it as a fake, except for this particular part where the worldview is completely different, and you cannot inherit a worldview. But then you have trash, where people try to copy Baroque at the same time without any link with the present situation. Thanks, Emel. Thanks,
Emel.
I'm very sorry that we have to stop here, but I'm being given signs of a very angry engineer technician. Thanks to everybody.
Thank you, and I hope I did not...
No, it was excellent.
Wasalna flaħħar tal-program Kreativita bla Konfini li huwa program fuq Campus FM, organizzat mid-Dipartiment tal-Istorja tal-Arti f'Università ta' Malta. Nixtiequ ninformaw l-udjenza tagħna li l-APS imdina qed jiġi l-Contemporary Art Biennale se jiġi mtella fil-Mużew tal-Katedral l-Imdina bejn it-13 ta' Novembru 2017 sa 7 ta' Jannar 2018. APS Bank huwa l-partner uffiċjali tal-Imdina Biennale. Għal aktar informazzjoni nħeġġukom tidħlu fuq is-sit elettroniku www.imdinabiennale.com. Grazzi tal-li naqgħu magħna, niltaqgħu l-ġimgħa dieħla.